Previously on Keep It Simple.
Everyone is contributing. Everyone is participating. Everyone has something to say. That being said, whenever you get a group of people together in a small enclosed place, it won't be long until you figure out or someone comes to the surface like, hey, this guy's a little difficult. This gal's a little bit difficult to work with. Or this person is always talking. Or this person never talks. Or this person is always saying sarcastic things. Or this person is always trying to pick a fight. Or this person always has this pet issue that may or may not be, you know, solid Christianity. Let's talk a little bit about what we could do when we encounter such a person. What do you think, Gavin? It might be that I'm that person.
Yeah.
What do you do with a guy that won't shut up? Like if I say, Gavin, you're talking too much, please let somebody else talk. All of a sudden I have embarrassed you and any thought of you worshiping the Lord or learning from him, that's gone. Can you tell a guy to shut up in a godly way? Or how do you deal with someone who never speaks up at all? What do you do with the person who all they do is just sit? All they do is that okay? Do you try to encourage them to contribute?
Clearly, the most comfortable thing would be for someone to just be in charge and tell everybody when to talk and not to talk and what to say and what to read and what not to read. And so for some people, that may be what you need to do and where you're at. If you're going to go more of the route that we go, there is going to be those awkward times. And I say those can be windows into people's hearts, that you have an opportunity then to follow up with them, maybe for coffee the next day or after you're done.
Right.
When someone kind of goes off, you know, maybe is inappropriate in a way, a lot of times it is a window into their heart of what's going on and maybe some other issues that you can then address with them in a personal way.
Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeCompte and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
I think another challenging issue is too, is that, you know, I'm thinking in our, you know, senses where people might just contribute something. It may not be long-winded, it may not necessarily be disruptive, but it's just not true.
Okay, you know, we'll talk about that.
So someone comes up and say, oh, well, it's kind of like this when you do this, et cetera, and you're like, oh, well, it's actually not kind of like that, I don't think. You know, how do you handle that, Tom?
Okay, that's a good question. We're talking about how do you handle people in your group as you gather, as you're discussing or sharing or teaching or learning together, how do you deal with the person who either talks too much, talks too little, or in this case, what we're talking about right now, what about the person who shares something that's kind of off topic or maybe even a little bit heretical? I mean, we've talked in the past about how you deal with false teaching and you know, it could escalate to that. But let's talk about something that's a little bit shy of, you know, flat out false teaching, but is wrong. Maybe, you know, something that's incorrect. Maybe you got somebody that has a pet issue and they just keep coming back to that issue. You know, I want gluten-free Bibles because we can, you know, if we have gluten pages, we're going to shrivel up and die, you know, or something like that. Or they have a pet issue that they keep bringing up over and over and over again. Or I just saw this on TV and I want to share it with you. It's like, there's nothing good on TV. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I mean, this happens kind of frequently within our simple church because we have a lot of folks who are not believers and are part of it, you know.
Yeah.
And so, one, I think there's grace for, you know, people to say things that aren't true. I mean, who knows what all I've said that's not true. So I try to keep that in mind. Like, there is a humility there that says we're all here kind of to figure out the truth. And so,
Right. Again,
when people speak, it's you know, how the mouth speaks the heart. So I generally try to, myself personally, remember that whenever someone opens a mouth, it's a window to their heart. And my goal is not to leave this circle or this time together with everyone aligned completely and correctly with truth. It is, in many ways, to get people asking the questions and get people on a journey to where they are trying to find the truth out for themselves. And so, you know, I think a dangerous thing to do is to right away shut people down and say, oh, you're wrong. That's not right, you know. I think a lot of times we have this idea that, you know, we are the arbiters of truth. Like, it's up to us to make sure that everyone is thinking correctly. And if they're not, then, you know, if it's our job to straighten them out, you know. And I think that's, you know, there is a, you know, hope, obviously, that we're all pursuing the truth and we're all learning the truth. But how we go about that is not, you know, it's not always the most loving and caring thing to someone who's, man, they're obviously with you for a reason. God's doing something in their life. I believe that, or they wouldn't be there. If they're, you know, someone you know who's searching, and they're going to say something from time to time that may not be true. So I've handled that in a lot of ways. I've said, hey, does anyone else have a thought different than that?
Yeah, yeah.
And usually someone says, well, I've kind of thought about it this way. Or, you know, yeah. I hear what he's saying, but it reminds me of a passage in Scripture where Jesus seemed to kind of say something that was the opposite of that, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, they can share that. Or, you know what? I think there's been some times when someone has been the situation has been where it might be the only person, they're saying something so far-fetched that most everyone there knows it, and it's kind of something you just move on from, and then you address it later.
Right.
You take them out to lunch, you say, you know, I remember what you shared, you know, I want to talk to you about something that you shared, you know, and it's in a private setting where they're not embarrassed or humiliated.
Right.
You know, I think we tend to, you know, he doesn't necessarily, I don't think, always need us to straighten everybody out. You know, it takes faith to believe that sometimes, but that the Lord is able to handle those situations sometimes, and that we can, you know, there's a responsibility there that you don't want to shrink back from, but there's also the relationship and helping people to continue moving toward Jesus that you don't want to endanger for the sake of shutting someone completely out and making them feel like an idiot, you know?
Right.
Especially with people that aren't believers. I mean, it's easy to do. Anybody can make someone else look stupid especially if they're out of their comfort zone just of being in the group.
Right. And you've hit the key on there. You got to figure out where they are spiritually. And, you know, we have unbelievers. We have people of other faiths that come to our church. We have Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. And, you know, if they speak up, they're going to say something that's, you know, clearly not biblical gospel. And, you know, you got to handle that in a way that, you know, you don't shut them down or embarrass them or make them feel stupid for their faith. But at the same time, I think if someone says something like that, you have a way, the facilitator or whoever, he can find a way to say the truth and not let the Buddhist speaking have the last word on the issue. You know, and you can do it nicely, like, well, you know, as the Bible says this.
Yeah.
About that, and that's kind of what we believe.
Or,
but, you know,
even
that's
asking the question, you know, rather, I mean, I think that's sometimes even better, is just to say, you know, that's an interesting point of view. I would like to challenge you and encourage you to spend some time this week looking in the Scriptures to see if that is in the Bible. And if it is, I'd love
that.
To talk to you about it. You know?
Yeah.
Because there's differing opinions about that. Some people don't believe what you just said. People
right.
that are trying. And you always can, you know, again, it's an opportunity to say, well, that's an interesting opinion. We're a group of people here that are trying to find answers to all things in the Scriptures and by looking to the Scriptures. So why don't we this week spend some time looking into the Scriptures
right.
and then next week see if that's what has been expressed here is true, you know, and maybe you can look at that, we can look at that, or you might even do it more in a one-on-one type of thing. Hey, why don't we look at them? I'd like to take you out to lunch and let's
right.
talk about that.
What you don't want to do is embarrass them. And I've been to meetings where a person of either brand new faith or not quite their faith has spoken up and said something. And someone else who is very, I would say, learned and, you know, authoritarian and you know, kind of a, they were a missionary in their own right and everything. They kind of questioned him on him. Are you saying that, you know, A, B, C? And he goes, well, yeah, that's kind of how I see it. He says, well, I can't sit here and listen to this.
Yeah.
You know, this is false teaching. And he gets up and walks out.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what you want
to
do.
And we got. I was just talking to a guy about this morning. I mean, when these things arise, like what you want to do, it, you know, all of us, like we all at any given time can tell people the truth, like, you know, and sometimes I don't want to say there's never a time and place for that, but in most situations, my experience is that what people need is not to hear me tell them the truth. They need to hear the truth for themselves. They need to hear the voice of God prompt them, and they need to have their heart open to it. Now, God might use me in that endeavor, but I think sometimes we do, you know, we don't believe that God can straighten it, can help someone discover the truth on their own. Like, if I don't step in here and set this straight, like, it takes faith to say, you know what, like, rather than just telling that person, I can't sit here and listen, that is not true, this is what the Bible says, to say to someone, I want to challenge you to search the scriptures about that and see what you find, and walk away from it and say, you know, because I wrestled with that issue myself a lot, and I want to encourage you to go on a journey. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I want to encourage you to seek him about this with all of your heart, and then to walk away and trust that if that person's willing, if they're not willing to seek God, it don't matter. If their heart is not one where they're saying, I want to find the truth, then it don't matter what you say, they're not going to hear it.
Right.
You know? So I a lot of times think about how can we help folks just get on the road where they're pursuing the answers, you know, they're seeking God, you know, and sometimes that's going to involve us saying, giving the answer. But a lot of times I think it's, you know, and we talked about that at the Simple Church Conference. It's a lot of times more about asking the right questions.
That's what Jesus did. He always asked questions.
Yeah.
And then put the ball back in your court. But
yeah.
He asked questions that directed you towards the truth and not deflected you away from the truth. So we need to learn how to ask good questions.
Yeah.
So that person who's speaking out things that may not be true, what's the difference between that, or if we're on a continuum between that and flat out false teaching, how do we know when we've crossed that line? I mean, how do you identify a flat out false teacher in your midst, and what do you do? Well, we've talked about in past podcasts, what do you do with false teaching, but in your case,
well, how did Jesus deal with it?
Yeah. Sometimes he was very harsh with like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was very harsh with them. Paul was very harsh. He said, don't have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm. But what was I'm thinking, what was his litmus test for false teaching, you know?
The scriptures.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of the time when... I'm a little fuzzy on the exact reference of it, but, you know, the apostles identify this guy who was not with them, but he was calling people to follow him, you know.
I know what you're saying.
And they were kind of concerned about that, like, should we rein this guy in because he's not with us, you know?
He was not against us, is for us.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's the principle there is that, you know, are these people preaching something that basically is denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if they are for that, then I think we have to tread lightly. Like, if they are proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is the only way that we might find peace with God, then we need to be very careful, I think, about blasting people and excluding them a little bit, because Jesus seemed to be. He seemed to not, you know... and we have to be aware, well, what if we're the false, you know, there is a sense of humility too. It's like, well, wait a minute, what if we're wrong about this, you know?
Because I mean, it couldn't happen.
There's no way we could be wrong, right?
No.
But I think there's a clear line in the sand there that Jesus, you know,
that's good. That's
that
a good
Jesus
point.
Jesus made. So
that's a good point.
I just think, you know, we have to be, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that if you wear a certain type of clothing, you're heretical, and they're ready to blast them and
excommunicate. I think skateboards are heretical.
Yeah. I think we tread lightly, and we, you know, and handle all things with humility too.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, you know, and we can entrust, I think, God to a lot of that in work in people's lives. I believe that. You know, we don't have to be the theological police on every matter.
Right.
Like, we can, again, encourage people to go to God for the answers. And if they're willing, they'll find the answers. If they're not, there's not much you're going to do anyways.
I think grace is the key. I do think, and we talked about this before, there is a line past which we can't tolerate a false teacher. And a false teacher, to me, and I think this is scriptural, a false teacher is someone who professes to be a Christian, to be of Christ, but their message is clearly not Christian, it's not biblical, it's not Jesus, it's something else. And it may look similar, but it's something else. And they maintain that they're right and that, you know, the biblical teaching is wrong. So I think that's how you define a false teacher. And I think Paul was very adamant. You don't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
So either you have a lot of sessions with them at the coffee shop and say, you know, this is what the scripture says. Maybe you're just misguided. And if they continue, maybe it's time to say, you're gonna have to find another place.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to give you a platform for this.
There's one thing I know about you, Tom. You get fired up about the false teaching. I see you come alive, man. Maybe that's because of your past, right?
Well, our church has dealt with that.
Yeah.
And it was messy. It was bad. It was hard. And it was a battle. It was like the D-Day.
And it was a clear issue of kind of denial.
It was a very
clear issue of Jesus being the Son of the Living God. That,
right.
The only way that we might find
sin.
Peace.
Yeah, I mean, how do you deal with a theology
right
that...
A right is wrong and wrong is right.
Right. How do you deal with a theology that there is no sin?
Yeah.
And there's no consequences for sin.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you deal with that theology?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't justify that,
yeah.
And you can't accommodate it.
And so, my experience has been the opposite. I mean, I've not had to deal. I mean, you know, we in our simple church network here, I mean, every week something is said, I'm sure, that is not right. And a lot of times it's coming out of my mouth, you know. But as far as someone, you know, I think that when you're dealing...
But you're not willfully saying something
anti-biblical. Yes, sure, but I think that, you know, our experience has been one, and maybe this is helpful for the listeners as we talk about this, is just to kind of know we all work out of our experience. But my experience has been most of the time that when you get people together that are just average, everyday Joes who don't have this sense of they know all the answers because they're just happy to be at the table, so to speak. They're not coming there with, like, a lot of training in the Bible.
Right.
They
yeah.
look at the Bible, they're intimidated by it. The general attitude is one of, like, man, I don't really know what this says, you know. So there's a humility of saying, man, we're here together to try to figure this out. You know, no one's coming. I mean, and again, that's not to say that there won't ever be or that there couldn't be, but, you know, perhaps as an encouragement to those of you thinking about doing this, and this issue is a hang-up. You know, my experience has been that it's just been that most people come to the table from that angle. Their whole life, they've just listened to someone else, an expert, so to speak, tell them the truth, and they've known, if anything, they've been taught they're not an expert. And so now they're kind of coming expecting to teach something, and they're doing so almost with trepidation and fear. Like,
that's good.
Could I possibly say that I would know about this that would be true?
And that's where the discovery Bible questions are so good. I mean, they seem very subjective.
Yeah.
But if you're honest with them and you honestly answer them, you're going to learn. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you from the Scriptures.
But there are, you know, and I know your story a little bit, and I've had some issues where there have been those kind of people, but they didn't last in the group because they realized they weren't going to be able to win over people with their oh no. I mean, when you have an environment where everyone's contributing and somebody is looking for you kind of have to have this sense of control to keep false teaching alive. And when you allow there to be a format where everyone has a voice, then the false teaching can't really survive in that environment. If everyone, and if you're in a group where the majority of the people are people that are being led by the Holy Spirit, so you have someone comes in and they want to say what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right, well, that they're not going to get very far if you're in a group of people where the majority of them are following the Lord.
Exactly.
And they'll leave, and that's been my experience. Now, if that person wants to go and find five other people and start their own simple church, that there's nothing any of us can do to stop that.
No.
There's not a doctrine, there's not an organization, there's not the Catholic Church could not stop that from
exactly
happening. And so,
but they're not a part of your organization.
Yeah, they're not. But you know, and so I think honestly, we can almost just say, "Hey, good luck with that teaching. I hope you find some people that you like to be." You know, I mean, it's like not. I hope you do. I mean, that's not what you would say. But in a sense, it's it roots out people in and itself. You know, and that's been my experience. And that's not to say that won't change. And
you don't do it with anger. You just say, "Look, we're not compatible. You know, this is not is not what this church is about. You might be better served going elsewhere, doing this yourself. I don't know." So there's that. But yeah, okay, now what about the guy or girl who's always chasing rabbits? Okay, they were talking about, you know, principle of scripture, and they're saying, well, that reminds me of the time I went to the mall, and I went to the mall and I saw this piece of clothing, and then, you know, and I was wondering, was this manufactured by, you know, labor in Mexico, and you know, I really think that, you know, we should have justice and, you know, among labor, and I think we should pay Mexicans, you know, a decent wage, you know, for example. So there, how do you get me back on track if I'm going to go do that? If I'm going to go off on a tangent like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you handle it with grace, and you handle it with love, and you confront if appropriate in the group, if not appropriate in person, and you make sure that you just, you know, I again generally reiterate if that person's there, I give them a week or two, and I try to just reiterate in more of a general sense, like, hey, everybody, I want to remind everyone, you know, kind of just why we're here. You know, I want to remind everybody that this is a time where we're here specifically to focus on Christ and remember Him. You know, we're breaking bread together. We're doing this in remembrance of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we want to share today, as we teach one another, love one another, serve one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, sing to one another, we want it all to be centered around Him, and we want it to be about Him. And so this is a time for us to remember Him, talk about Him, praise Him, worship Him, teach about Him, and let's keep our focus on that, you know? And I'll try that a few weeks. If that person still doesn't get it, then I'll say, hey, I'd like to take you to breakfast, or can you take a little walk with me? I want to talk to you. And I'll generally encourage them from the perspective of, hey, I think what you're sharing is important. You know, it's about what you're talking about here is an important issue. I'm not sure this is the best time for that issue to be talked about, you know.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is we want to encourage other people. We, you know, you obviously are not afraid to speak in a group. That's a good thing, you know, and build them up. Like, that's a gift. Like, some people are, you know, they're fearful to talk in front of other people. You're not, and that's good. That's a gift. So sometimes one of the, and I'll relate to them, like, for me personally, what I'm having to learn here, and I'm trying to learn, is that how can I say things very concisely and on point and using as few words as possible to share about Christ so that I can defer and give other people the opportunity. And I want to encourage you to think about the same way so that our gifts don't become a stumbling block to other people. And I will approach it from that standpoint, because it is a good thing. If someone's willing to talk and share their heart, again, it's a window to their heart. You don't want to tell them that that's a horrible thing, but you just want to clarify for them the purpose of why we're getting together and when the appropriate times are to discuss those things and when they're not, you know, for the object of what we're trying to do. And you show them in the scriptures. You know, I usually bring them back to 1 Corinthians 14 and say, hey, everyone needs to be able to contribute. We don't have enough time if everybody contributes at that length. So we want to model for people what it looks like to contribute and to build up in a concise way that gives everyone an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. What happens if a fight breaks out?
Tom, you've got some troublemakers in your
church. I guess I do.
I remember, I'm thinking of
35 years of small group ministry.
Oh, man. I remember one time we had a literal fight break out in the front yard amongst a couple of kids, a kid in the simple church and the neighbor, and that was a great learning time. oh man!
All right, okay. How about a couple, you know, and you're discussing something, and then all of a sudden the husband starts passively aggressively talking about his spouse, and, you know, say, well, if my spouse would only do this, we wouldn't have this problem. Or, you know, I'm using that as an example.
I mean, I think that it's the same answer. I feel like I'm kind of repeating myself. Maybe we can edit some of this out. But, I mean, I would say, I mean, you tell me, Tom, how you handle it. But, I mean, I handle all of them the same way. And a lot of times I might just say, hey, you know, if I'm in the group, and it won't even have to be a group I'm leading. I could be at your house if someone said that. I might just say,
oh, we don't fight at my house.
I might just say, hey, you know, this might not be the time to talk about that. Right. That's an important, what, you know, if I try to affirm people, say, hey, that sounds like to me that's a very important issue.
Yeah.
And I think that would be very important to talk about. I'm just not sure here's the place because, look, right here in the scripture, this is what it says that we're to do, you know, and that we're to be a people, you know, whether it's Acts 2:42, this is what we're doing here. We're being devoted to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. And that's what we're trying to stay focused on, these things for this time.
Exactly.
There's a lot of other hours of the week that this might be important. And quite honestly, this might be something that could me and my wife come over and talk with you all about that issue. Because that's an important issue in your marriage.
Can we pray for you right now?
Yeah, can we pray about this right now? Because this is important. And move and let's continue talking. Because what we're all trying to do here is to help each other become more like Christ.
Right.
But I got a feeling this would be an issue better that talked about in person. Me and my wife, let's talk about this afterwards, and we can find a time to come over and visit with you all about this.
Exactly.
Because that deserves more time and attention and care than what we probably have right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you handle it that way.
Yep. Very good. And these aren't tests. I'm just laying out scenarios we had a guy.
What about the pyro? Who wants to blow up sticks of dynamite and set things on fire while you're having simple church? What do you do with that guy?
You take away his matches. I don't know. I've never had that situation.
But what do you do with the guy that... This is the podcast called What Do You Do With That Guy?
What do you do with that guy? What do you do with the guy who's stalking someone else in the fellowship? The only reason he's in that fellowship is for that girl. And when that girl kind of rejects his advances, he, you know, he makes that known and embarrasses her. We had that happen.
Yeah.
And
with that guy or that lady that's always posting crazy things on Facebook?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, those are some of the issues.
You unfriend them, I guess.
Is that the answer in all of these is that it's dealt through relationship with grace and love and truth. And there's no formula.
There's no one way to do it. You know, it takes some wisdom and discernment.
And humility.
And grace.
And remembering that, you know, I think when we see, you know, it's like whenever I think about like marriage counseling, and when Carl and I did some pre-marriage counseling, one of the things I remember is that they talked about that whenever there's conflict, it's an opportunity for intimacy. And I think we would be well served to remember that in all these situations. Whenever someone is creating a conflict within the group, there is an opportunity to go to a deeper place with that person and as a group than you ever would have went before the conflict had arisen. So, you know, if you think about it in that terms, it changes the things a little bit. Because then it's like, okay, this is an opportunity for me and this person to take our friendship to a new place because this is going to require some conflict. And that's going to either make this stronger, or if that person chooses to no longer be in this group or my friend, then that would be a loss for both of us. There's nothing you can do. Jesus didn't coddle people. He didn't say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Well, just stay a part of our group. Just stay a part of it. He let people walk away. And sometimes this conflicts will result in people walking away. And as long as you handle it with love, grace, and humility, and you're being led by the Spirit when you do that. And again, there's no formula for all that. You might even get this wrong a few times, and then you might have to go back a year later and apologize and say you handled yourself wrong in an appropriate way, whatever. I mean, there's no formula to it. But if you do it that way, you know, not only could it, you know, be dealt with, but it could help people to get to a place of intimacy with you and with Christ that they never would have been able to achieve had they not been disruptive, had they not had that crazy idea, had they not been talking about things that weren't true. All of those things really are opportunities for growth.
So what do you do with the guy? You know, he's teaching and he's like on the third floor and it's really hot and there's a guy sitting in the window and the guy just keeps talking on and on and on and on. And it's past midnight, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, there's, you know, the oxygen is being sucked out of the room and this guy just falls asleep and he falls out of the third story window. What do you do with that? I mean,
teachable moment.
It's a teachable moment, yeah. Go down and heal him.
And one thing, you know, I think we got to remember as well, perhaps on all this, is that how, you know, everything we do, we are teaching. So we might, you know, we might think of like it's just a matter of the delivery of the content. But mm-hmm. as we think about our responsibility in making other disciples, how we handle that right. conflict is going to teach more than a lot of times what's being taught verbally.
Exactly.
So we have younger kids, maybe our own children, maybe it's new believers that are a part of the group, or maybe other people that are watching us, you know. And they're looking at us to see how we handle this. Well, how are we going to handle it like Jesus would handle it? And I think we would do well to be reminded that most of Jesus' harsh dealings with conflict was directed towards the religious leaders. It
yes.
was not directed towards the people that were
he
struggling.
He gave a lot of grace to the tax collectors and the prostitutes.
He did. And I think for me, one, if I err, I want to err on the side of grace. You know,
yeah.
And that's just a general rule of thumb. I mean, there's something about us all that wants to put people in their place, and that may be my fleshly instinct, and I think that's maybe in all of us. But, you know, if I'm like, man, if I stand before God someday and I ended up that I had it wrong, I would rather it be that I erred on the side of giving too much grace, you know, as a general rule of thumb. I'd hope that I get it just perfect, and I never err on the side of either side, but I've been perfect grace and perfect truth. But I'm sure I won't be. And there's probably every situation I've got a little wrong one way or the other, you know, as I've dealt with conflict. But I would like to think, in general, if I'm going to make a mistake, I would rather have been too gracious than too harsh.
Yeah. Well, this has been an interesting series. I hope it's been entertaining as well as informative to you. And if you guys have some ideas, or if you guys have a situation, like, how do I deal with this? We like to hear about it, and we'd like to hear your solution as well. If you've had an interesting situation come up in your small group or house church, we would love to hear about it. So, Gavin, don't be that guy.
No, thanks for joining us.
And I will not be that guy either. We'll see you later. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.